Thank you very much to Pastor Kelvin and the leadership of DUMC for inviting me to worship with you and bring this word. This is my first time at DUMC. I've heard your Pastor Daniel Ho several times and have really been blessed by his ministry, and I've heard so much about this church and what God is doing in and through the members of this church here and around the world. So we praise God for that. As I was preparing and praying for this sermon, I thought of going to your website and thought I'd get to know this church better. And one thing caught my attention on your website, and that really impressed upon my heart to share with you today a little bit. And that is our five core habits, DUMC's five core habits. And here they are: honor, humility, be real, pass it on, and fun. And then it says, doing ministry and serving others should come from his love for us, and his love should overflow to others. So let the joy be evident not only to others, but to yourself, and to serve, eat, play, and have fun. This is straight from your website. And whoever wrote this is the person after my own heart, because I also believe in having a lot of fun. And I'll tell you a little story, quite interesting. When I was in Romania for the first time for teaching and preaching, a young Romanian pastor asked me what was the philosophy of my life. I was never asked that question before, and so I immediately paused and thought, and God gave me these three words, and since then I've been using it. And I told him my philosophy of life is simple. One, to love God with all your heart, to hate sin seriously, and to have fun. So that is very encouraging. But this continues on your website, and it goes to, ultimately, everything we do, this is on your website, everything we do must be done for the sake of the gospel. For the sake of the gospel, it must lead someone closer to Christ, and that's what makes us DUMC. That is just so wonderful to hear and to see. And then this verse is on your website as well in concluding this thought about five core habits. To the weak, I became weak. The words of Apostle Paul taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. So this morning's, today's sermon is, the title is For the Sake of the Gospel Taken, and I borrowed it from Apostle Paul. So let's read this entire passage from that, from where this verse is taken. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 27. So I'll read this for you. You will also be able to see this on the screen. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not myself, not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know, Paul says, that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive an imperishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, that least after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Lord, guide our thoughts as we look at these amazing words that your servant Apostle Paul wrote for us and has given to us in your scriptures. There is much in this text that we can look at and study and many lessons to learn. But today I want to emphasize two main lessons. There are two takeaways from this passage that God has impressed on my heart, and I believe it will bless you as well. First one is the phrase that he uses here, all things to all men. In some translation, he says, all things to all people. And Paul uses this phrase, I became as a Jew, a Gentile, and I become all things to all men. I have become, he has become all things to all men several times, five times. So that's one phrase we'll look at. Second one is, for the sake of the gospel. Paul says, I do all these things for the sake of the gospel. And that is something really, really exciting and important to think about today. So why is Paul doing this? Why is he repeatedly saying, I have become, I became? He changed intentionally. For what purpose Paul did that in his life? And if you read the entire passage, which we just did, we will see these four things become very clear. First one, he says, I do all these things. I became all things to all men to win for the sake of the gospel, to win people over. He uses that term in some other his epistles as well. And this is to see people converted, to turn around from darkness to light, from death to life, from being lost to being found, from following false God to now coming to know one and true, only living creator God. So he does all these things to see people one for the sake of the gospel. Another thing he does, and he uses this term in his passage as well, to save people. And we know what that means, all of us. From sin and its consequences. That's in verse 22. Paul says, I do all this, I make all these changes, and I'm willing to do this so that people be saved from sin and its consequences, verse 22. And the third thing he says, to share with them in gospel's blessings. So he's changing to win people, to save people, and to share with them in the blessings, all for the sake of the gospel. What would be then, he says, I do this to share in gospel's blessings. So what do you think Paul might be thinking? What do you think he has in his mind when he says gospel's blessings? I do it for the sake of gospel's blessings. Many blessings. We have to look at all his epistles and his writings to get the big picture of it. But as I was studying this text and praying and asking God for wisdom, I have identified two very specific blessings that he is referring to in this. Two gospel outcomes, two gospel blessings. That means, what does gospel do? What does it accomplish? Two words and just two phrases. Remember this. Gospel saves, according to Paul, and gospel shapes. Gospel saves, which means when the gospel is proclaimed, it brings other people to God, reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins, salvation of human beings. As they listen to the gospel and respond to the gospel by faith, God forgives them and he brings them in his eternal relationship and in his kingdom, and that is for others. So Paul says gospel saves. But then he also says, and this is something a lot of people miss in this passage, and that is gospel shapes. Gospel shapes, the second one is. It transforms the proclaimer, and that is for himself, Paul says. As I have been preaching the gospel, it brings fruit for the gospel. People are being saved, but gospel is also changing my life. And gospel saves is easy for all of us to know and remember. It is reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ, salvation, new birth, regeneration, what gospel does for others. The proclamation of the gospel in word and deed draws people to Jesus, to be reconciled to God, to receive all the blessings of the gospel that the Holy Spirit gives them. That is, Holy Spirit himself, the presence of God, changed life, promise of an eternal life, and the family of God. And so these are the blessings. And Paul says he also does this for a reward, he says, towards the end, imperishable wreath. And what would he mean for that? Look at it, what Paul says about the people that came to know him. In Philippians 4, verse 1, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. And he says, the people that came to know the Lord through his ministry in Philippi, Paul says that you are my joy and you are my crown, and that is the imperishable wreath. In 1 Thessalonians, he says, for what is our hope, joy, or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? So Paul considers the people who responded to the gospel message as his crown and as his blessings. So gospel saves. Gospel brings joy. It brings love and boasting in the Lord. How did Paul become all things to all people in the gospel ministry? He says, I became all things to all people in the gospel ministry, and particularly relating to his preaching ministry. For this, we'll have to look at the book of Acts. There are 12 sermons in the book of Acts that we see that Paul preached. Some are very brief, some are long. And one difference, it'd be a fascinating study to do, but one very key difference you'll notice in Paul's sermons in the book of Acts, when he's preaching to the Jewish audience, he always begins with the Old Testament. He immediately takes them to the Old Testament scripture, Old Testament passage. This is what the Mosaic law says. Why did he do that? Because the Old Testament people, the Jewish people knew the Old Testament and they knew the Mosaic law. So Paul can make that connection. But when he preached to the Gentile audience, and that is a very good example, there's a very good example in Acts chapter 17, that Paul, when he's preaching in Athens, he doesn't begin his sermon with the Old Testament, but he uses their own poets, and he uses unknown God, and he builds bridges and brings the resurrection of Christ in his preaching. So that is something to be observed, that Paul in his ministry became all things to all people in his preaching. According to his audience, he was bringing the sermon as Holy Spirit was giving him the word. And this is in the missions called contextualization theology. It's a very big subject, but we don't have time to go into right now. But let me tell you a story why this is important as we consider ourselves to be the proclaimers of the gospels. And as we proclaim the gospel and as people are saved, long, long time ago in India, I was traveling on a train, and my friend that I was discipling, I was mentoring, who had just joined our ministry, he had graduated from Bible college, so he's sitting next to me, and a couple of young men came and sat in the train, and they spoke English. So he was trying to witness to them, and he was so excited about this, that I'm here to preach the gospel in North India. And so he proclaimed the gospel, he preached the gospel, and he was so excited, he used the term that Jesus saves, redemption, he died for the forgiveness of our sin. He even, I think, believe he used the word propitiation because he had studied this in his Bible college. And he was so excited about it. And he thought that he had proclaimed the gospel very clearly. So when the station came, he got off. And so I turned to these two men and I said, did you understand what he was saying? What was he telling you? Because I said, you were nodding head and you were smiling at him, so what was going on? And he says, we have no idea what he was talking about. See, sometimes we think we are proclaiming the gospel, but if you don't know your audience, we need to become all things to all men. We need to understand who they are to use this. Another very fascinating example in here is we had a meeting in a Christian family's house where he had invited his non-Christian neighbors, Hindu neighbors from his neighborhood. And I asked one of the brothers that we were training, can you teach the gospel? And he used John 3:16, Romans 8:28, the Roman road, and he was explaining the gospel and preaching it. It went very well. He did a very good job, very clearly presented the gospel after everything was over. I asked a few people. They were not from the Christian faith. They were Hindus. So I said, what do you think he said? Oh, he said he was very nice. He was very genuine. He was so loving as he talked to us. But he says, Pradeep, I didn't understand one thing. So I said, what is it? He said, why was he saying numbers while he was preaching? Why were the numbers so? I said, what do you mean? He said, once he said 316, then he said 828. Was he giving some secret codes we can buy lottery with? Or is Bible giving us some insights into numbers? So you see, he was preaching as if he was preaching to the Christian audience. Non-Christians, they don't know. So when we share gospel with them, we don't say numbers. We don't say John 3:18, Romans 8:28, or Revelation 21. They don't understand this number. So you see, in life and ministry of Paul, we need to learn from them. He said, he became all things to all men for the sake of the gospel. So that gospel saves. That is one point Paul made. Second one, gospel shapes. S-H-A-P-E-S. And that Paul makes it very clear. He's also in this passage. And how did I pick it up? I'd never paid that attention clearly before. He uses I so many times. I became, I have become, I became. I do this all for the sake of the gospel. Transforming in Christ likeness. So I like to propose that here is another blessings. One is that gospel saves, but gospel also shapes the proclaimer. The one who takes gospel seriously in their life. They want to live the life for the sake of the gospel, doing all for the sake of the gospel, to proclaim the gospel. They have to realize, I have to realize, you have to realize that gospel will also shape you in Christ's likeness. It transforms us. Paul says, I'm free. I have made myself a servant. I became four times. I have become all things to all men. How did the gospel of Jesus Christ shape Paul? How did gospel do that? Gospel shapes and transforms the proclaimer in the likeness of Jesus. These two works of the gospel go hand in hand. Gospel saves and gospel shapes. These are two sides of the same coin. And this is what he said about the freedom. I'm free from all things. My identity is in Christ. And once I'm in Christ, united in Christ, my identity is with Christ and all other identities then diminish. Not meaning that his Jewish identity was erased, because in the book of Acts, when he gives his testimony, Paul says, I'm a Jew from Tarsus. But because I'm now united with Christ, I can step out of my identity and become like the people that I'm trying to reach for the sake of the gospel. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And because of my union with Christ, Paul says, I'm free to become whatever God tells me to do. To a Jew, I become a Jew. To the Gentile, I become a Gentile. I'm free from all. I have made myself a slave. That's a very radical thought. Very radical thought. Freedom and servanthood. It sounds contradictory, right? Paradoxical, almost, that freedom for slavery. I have become free. We think when I'm free, I can do whatever I want. True freedom, here it is, important. According to Paul, and I've learned this in my life, true freedom is when you choose not to be free. Do not be enslaved to freedom. Some people are enslaved to freedom. I'm so free, I can do whatever I want. But what Paul teaches us here is that we become free. It is easy to choose to be a servant, but not easy when we are treated like servants. So this is something very key. Paul says, I became all things to all men for the sake of the gospel, all for the sake of the gospel. Though I am free in Christ, I chose to become a servant of all. God shapes us to be servants of the gospel of Jesus and others. Look at this slide. All things to all men. These two men you see, one is Sadhu Sundar Singh and one Hudson Taylor. I could have put John Sung here also. I just finished reading a brilliant biography by John Sung. It's very, very good. You need to read that biography. So you have a very good bookstore here. I'm sure you have some books by them. Actually, I know there is a book on life of Sadhu Sundar Singh here, and I'm sure there is something on Hudson Taylor as well. They lived for the sake of the gospel. They did all for the sake of the gospel. Not only they changed their dress and food, and they merged in with that culture, Sadhu Sundar Singh with North Indian culture, and Hudson Taylor to Chinese culture, but also they loved them. And they became their servants and gave their lives for them. And there are so many examples. There are many examples that you can read, brilliant biographies of people following in the footsteps of Jesus, said that in Mark 10, that I came not to be served, but to serve. Paul learned from Jesus to be a servant of all for the sake of the gospel. And there are stories of many missionaries around the world, and they have done the same thing as well. So gospel shapes people. Gospel shapes. Let me give you my personal testimony. How gospel shapes. Just this one, in two areas, my wife and I, in 40 years of ministry, have learned in these two areas, gospel has shaped us. Area of provision and area of protection. All of us want to be provided for, right? We want to have enough money for ourselves. We want to have enough money for our children. We want to have enough provision for us to comfortably live our lives. And we want to be protected. We don't want to be attacked or killed or have a safe and comfortable life. We all want that. But since we got married in 1985, actually here in PJ, 1985, we were married in PJ in Taman Mega. We have lived in three different countries since we've been married, 8 cities and 12 different homes. And the most recent home we moved here only 3 years ago, and God has faithfully provided. We have been shaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ in our ministry, that we have come to trust God in His provision and in His protection. And here's a quick story. In 2000, when we moved from India to another country, we went to US. There were many reasons why we left the field. I was in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And I was studying that God causes all things to work together for good. And as I was meditating and reflecting upon this scriptural passage again by Paul, I was really moved, and I began to pray that soon we will be leaving our home and all our things and everything and start all over again as we had done before. And I started praying and I said, God, I am not afraid of dying myself. I just don't want to. Painful death, one thing I did tell him. But I said, Lord, if I die, who will take care of my wife and my kids? That was my prayer, very clear. If I die, so I was fearful of my wife and my kids. Our kids were small, our two boys, Jason and Joshua. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, I have never heard God's voice. But if I ever had, that was the one time I believe that God said something to me. And what I heard was him laughing. I heard his laughter. So when I prayed this prayer and says, if I die, Lord, who will take care of my brothers and my sisters? God goes, ha, ha, ha. And you know what he said? Well, who is taking care of them now? I was shocked. What God was telling me, Pradeep, don't think even for a minute that you are taking care of your wife and kids. I am doing it. I am taking care of your wife and kids, but I am using you. You're responsible to take care of your wife and your children. And if I call you home, don't even for a second think that I will not be around. I'll be around for your wife and your children. So gospel has shaped us to take tremendous risks for the sake of the gospel because we have seen God work in our lives. He has provided for our needs in 40 years, and he has protected us. He has protected us as well. So let's in conclude reflection. Let me ask you two questions as we come to the end of this now. What would it mean for us to say, I do all things for the sake of the gospel? What would it mean? What would it mean? I do all for the sake of the gospel. All of life, this means. Paul says, all I do for the sake of the gospel. We need to see all of our life through the lenses of gospel. Don't ever take the gospel of Jesus Christ off your heart, off your eyes, off everything. Your personal life, your family life, your children's life, your community, your nation, the world, anything you see, your achievements, your accomplishments, all your possessions, all that you have in the bank, at home, see it from the gospel perspectives. You take that off, you'll be in trouble. I would be in trouble. We have the freedom, but we need to use this freedom. Another lesson is to become servants of the gospel and servants of all. An identity, what do we do with that? Paul says, we should be willing to let go our identity and all that we hold dear for the sake of the gospel. That's what it means, all for the sake of the gospel. And so we need to do that. How do we then respond to the needs around the world when we believe that Lord, we want to live our lives all for the sake of the gospel? How do we respond to the needs around the world? Locally and globally, there are so many needs, brothers and sisters. DUMC has a tremendous missions program. Come and talk to Pastor Kelvin. You have short-term trips. There are many ministry opportunities around the church here, around the state, East Malaysia, and tremendous opportunities around the world as well. Or come and talk to me if it is possible. I can tell you about where God may send you. All sorts of people of any skills, professions, and age. DUMC has a very clear and very well-planned training and missions program, and I think you should consider that all for the sake of the gospel. So let's commit ourselves, in closing, to do all for the sake of the gospel and become all things to all men to win, to save and serve as their servants of people, servants of the gospel, servants of Jesus Christ, servants of people to receive gospel's blessings. And these are the gospel blessings. Gospel saves, and that is a tremendous blessing. Paul says, the people who responded to his gospel, he considered them a crown of glory. And Paul says, that is the reward. And brothers and sisters, we need to, in all that we do and say, we need to be gospel people. In our proclamation, in our word, the way we live our lives, the way we witness to people in our family, in our neighborhood, in our country, around the world, it should be all for the sake of the gospel. So that is one blessing. And another blessing is as we do that, we do it all for the sake of the gospel. Gospel shapes us. It changes us. It transforms us. As Paul said, and I told you in my own life also, gospel has been changing me unbelievably day after day. So all for the sake of the gospel. Gospel-centered life saves and serves people and saves people, and gospel shapes and transforms the proclaimer. So again, I end with this. Ultimately, everything we do must be done for the sake of the gospel. It must lead someone closer to Christ, including you. And that's what makes us DUMC. So can I ask you to just close your eyes and think about this for a second? If some of you here who are listening to me have not even responded to the gospel that saves, that transforms your life, as you, by faith, come to Jesus in repentance of your sin, it restores your relationship one and true living God. Would you please ask Jesus to come in your life and tell him that you're sorry that you haven't believed in him, and then you ask him to have a relationship with you, to come in your life. Bible uses that term, inviting Jesus in your life. Or talk to someone sitting next to you, in your home, in your neighborhood, someone who follows Jesus. What does it mean? Would you please do that? That's wonderful. And the ones who already know Jesus and you have been following Jesus for a long time, would you make a commitment? Maybe by raising your hand, there is a button. Any commitment to follow Jesus or to make a commitment to live all for the sake of the gospel. All for the sake of the gospel in your life. You want to make that commitment for going forward, that all of your life you want to live for the sake of the gospel. Would you please press that raise hand button and let someone know? And then talk to someone in your family, in your church, in your small group. And also there are prayer requests. That there is a prayer request button. You can press that in the chat box. You can put in your prayer request, and the leaders of the church would love to pray for you, to guide you in your journey as you decide to follow Jesus, and in your journey to a deeper commitment to live your life all for the sake of the gospel. Gospel saves and gospel shapes. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Apostle Paul and the words that we have just read and reflected upon. Lord, you have worked in my life also that not only that I want to preach the gospel, but I want gospel to shape me, to change me, to transform me, to make me more like Jesus. And I pray same for my brothers and sisters who are listening, the ones who have never made a commitment. Father, I pray that they would do that today. And if they do this today, I pray they would talk to someone and grow in your grace. We thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, all for the sake of the gospel. Amen.